We've come already quite some way. I mean, you know, had we had this conversation 3 or 4 years ago, Sarah and I would have shed bitter tears about the state of where we are. And I think, you know, there are plenty of good examples where colleagues across the globe are taking on the lead on that.
Hello and welcome back to the Climate Bridge podcast. My name is Toby Bernstein and I'm a consultant at the Berlin-based think tank Adelphi and co-lead the program office of the Transatlantic Climate Bridge, the initiative behind this podcast.
Hello, and I am Cornelius Harrit, a member of Polis 180, a young grassroots think tank on European and foreign policy and partner institution of the Transatlantic Climate Bridge. Besides my voluntary work at Polis, I am currently doing a PhD at the German Institute for Global and Area Studies in Hamburg. Together with Toby, I am hosting today's episode.
The goal of the Transatlantic Climate Bridge and of this podcast is to promote climate cooperation between Germany, the United States, and Canada. Stay tuned through the end of the episode to learn more about the Transatlantic Climate Bridge. Cornelius and I are both really excited about this episode because previously we've spoken mostly to policymakers, and now we have the chance to get a unique perspective from two excellent journalists who will give us an insight into the role of journalism in driving forward responsible climate policy processes. Cornelius, can you tell us who you spoke to and maybe give a little sneak preview of what you covered?
Sure, Toby. I spoke to two journalists working in Germany, but who are also engaged internationally. Sven Egenter heads the team at Clean Energy Wire as editor-in-chief and executive director. Clean Energy Wire produces and facilitates top-quality journalism about the energy transition in Germany and beyond, and fosters cross-border cooperation among reporters covering the move towards a climate-friendly society. And Sarah Schürmann is a journalist and author who, after working for several big media houses, realized how much more prominent climate change should be in the media and wrote a much acclaimed open letter pleading for more climate journalism. Now she's advising newsrooms and journalists how to cover more climate topics and also founded the climate journalism network, Netzwerk Klimajournalismus. And in the episode, we spoke about what climate journalism can do to help society fight climate change, and that climate change really defies the logic of selecting, quote unquote, what you believe are the most important problems of society. And if you also want to find out what the German heating law has to do with it all, stay tuned for this episode.
Thanks a lot, Cornelius. Let's take a listen.
Very welcome, Sarah and Sven. It's great to have you over for this episode. Let's dive right in and get an idea of what we are talking about here. Sarah, I've heard you say that climate activism, climate journalism, and also political journalism are all different things. Could you tell us what we mean by each and why they are different?
Yeah, I always have to specify because colleagues are often kind of afraid that when they're gonna report on climate, they're going to be activists or something. And so I really like to specify the roles. And climate activism, in my view, has the role to further the public discourse. And therefore, they take like special solutions and then narrow it down to like one concrete like slogan, idea, whatever. And they try to push it into society, into politics, and therefore further discourse. And this is like really, really different from what journalism does. Like climate journalism, in my view, is just like making the interconnections to the climate crisis transparent where they already are, where they occur. And just like show all these interconnections. And this isn't like a very specific set of journalism, in my view. It more is something that every journalist should do. And why I also talk about political journalism is because political journalism has like the idea, which is, yeah, really democratic, I would say, that you could think, okay, for every topic, there are many different legitimate positions. And in a democracy, that's a good idea, right? To think that the person you're fighting with could be right as well, and that we should kind of meet somewhere. But what this also means for journalism is that as a political journalist, you often say, okay, this is the topic that's debated. And then you're having the points, what party A, party B, party C is saying. And then you just like present it on an equal footing. And what's missing here is that you often can say which of the parties is closer to reaching what we know is necessary from a scientific point of view. And it does mean that one party is totally right, because we can still and should still discuss like how should we arrange this for social aspects and so on, and how far do we want to go as a society, even if we know this would be the right thing to do. We don't have to do this, obviously. We saw this in the COVID crisis as well. And so this might be the differences, I would say.
Would you agree that climate journalism is more about plain facts than political journalism?
Not necessarily. Like, I would always hope that facts play a role in political journalism, but it's really about really giving the context and also putting all these arguments into perspective. And in political journalism, you often just like reproduce them somehow, and you're not putting that much emphasis on the context and so on. Not always. There are also different forms of journalism, like there's analysis, and you could comment on something, and there you put a big role on that. But like the plain reporting more tries to show the different perspectives and just leave it like this and not be partial. This is something that political journalists are really afraid of.
Yeah, I see. Sven, you have not only founded the Clean Energy Wire, but also the website klimafakten.de, Climate Facts. Why did you do that? And why is it important?
Well, let me just, first of all, thank you, Cornelius, for your question. Let me first, build on what Sarah said. That is contains some of the explanation, actually, why we're doing what we're doing. I completely agree with Sarah. That we're talking here about one of the most existential issues, that we call it a crisis, that is human-made climate change. That is a threat to our societies in its entirety. And the question how to tackle this is one that we need to debate on all levels, and journalism has to play a role there. And that's why I'm saying always, I've never been a fan of the word climate journalism, to be honest, because I think it puts a disguise on something which isn't helpful. It's what we need is best practice journalism on one of the most existential issues of our lifetime, and probably many more lifetimes actually to come, unfortunately, I have to say. So what does that mean? Media journalists have to play their role. And that means they have an alert function telling people there is danger out there. That's something we neglected for way too long on the climate crisis. And then we have a function that Sarah also described very nicely. I just would rephrase it a little bit. It's like we need to provide actionable information with the context we need, so we can find in the democratic discourse, in the way forward, also internationally, we're talking here to the Transatlantic Climate Bridge, the fixes to what, to get us out of that mess, let's put it bluntly. And the third thing is, obviously, once we have started this, journalists have a very, that's a genuine job of journalism, is to control and to monitor these processes, to monitor and control the powerful, to make sure that once the targets are agreed, once the plans are put out, that we actually stick to it. And that's something that's really difficult often for media to do, because it means a lot of process controlling. And we are very event-driven often in the media. That's, what Sarah also meant when she was talking about political journalism. I agree with that completely, that it's this sort of like he said, she said, and you get this sort of like somebody has to be right. Well, processes are much more complicated than that. And finally, you know, I feel, and that's something, you know, we may talk or not talk about, but I feel that journalism, you know, we are trained moderators in many ways. People work for the radio or for TV, you know, why are we not moderating the public debate, actually? We simply often retreat to a position of we are fueling the debate, but why not moderating it? You know, we could do that. So, long winded answer to say, well, this is the reason why there's Clean Energy Wire and Klimafakten. And Clean Energy Wire, well, we take the, from day one, we've taken, you know, the climate crisis as a given, as a starting point for our work. And then we started looking into one of the big solution stories, which is the energy transition. And we've started branching out into doing this on an international level, pan-European, as I say now. But it's also important to ask ourselves, how do we do that? In our daily communication as communicators, but also as journalists. And that's where Klimafakten comes in. You know, we've started as a myth-busting website, you know, just listing what, you know, the science says on, you know, the IPCC report and where we are in climate change and all that. But we've now realized that just putting those facts out there doesn't do the trick. You need to make them, as I said, actionable. In order to make them actionable, you know, you need to approach people and get to where people are in their daily lives, in their work, in their way to communicate. And so we've started to do, you know, look into climate communication. And that's probably the one thing where the climate crisis is different than other issues, because it defies the conventional logic of, let's say, political debate, as Sarah described it, because it doesn't follow the logic of it's something personal, it's something that's acute, something that's happening now. There is always a time gap between what I do now and what the effect will be. It's becoming more personal. I saw Sarah already shaking her head. Yes, it's becoming personal, but for a lot of people, it's not in their daily lives. And so climate communication for journalists, how we present these things is key. So that's why we have those two things under one roof: Clean Energy Wire, best practice journalism, connecting international media on the topic, also across the Atlantic and other oceans, and also, you know, working with journalists, but also with communicators in the widest sense to make this, the information, the knowledge out there actionable, and then take it into the democratic debate in a sort of constructive way.
Well, that's what you mean when you say moderating the public debate a bit more, bringing the topic to where it should be.
Not only, I think there's a perfect example of what media could play, as a journalist could play as a role. I mean, if you think about the coal exit debate in Germany, in East Germany, the Lausitzer Rundschau, for instance, organized, it's a local newspaper, they organized meetings with climate activists, experts, and the coal miners, you know, to sort of bring together, I mean, it's their readers, ultimately, to discuss, you know, what's at stake, how do we deal with that and all that. And there are plenty of formats that are well tested in journalism, but I feel, you know, we could do a bit more on that, actually. And also with that attitude, no, like Sarah said, not fueling the debates with just, you know, amplifying extreme positions on all sides, but trying to find, you know, the true core where we need to sort of come together as society to get ahead. Because we don't have the time to spend, frankly, for lengthy, I'm right and you're not. That I feel that is not very productive.
Maybe there's an example that I could add here, where you could see this role of a moderator that we really kind of missed have to play in the summer. In the summer, we had in Germany the big debate about some kind of new heating law. And there surely has been a lot that should have been criticized by journalists, and it wasn't a perfect law. But what I would say, our role should be like, and now, like, this is the question, like, okay, this law isn't perfect, but it addresses a problem that we have. And how could we, like, change the law? How could we work with this? How could we work together to fix the problem that we are having? And this wasn't the question at hand. It was just like being criticized, like how bad this is. And then we were really fueling also the debate, and people were getting scared, like even people who are really convinced that climate change is real and that we have to do something and so on. But they got really worried, like, what can I do about my home, about my money and so on. And there are solutions and there are answers to this. And we could provide this and we should provide this to really be a guide in this discussion. And we really, really, really have to pose the important questions and we have to analyze the problem so we could solve it. But there are solutions and we should present them as well so people can act and not just like discuss the whole summer, something that Denmark is already doing because it's not so complicated actually.
Yeah, very interesting. My next question goes to Sven again. You not only studied journalism, but you were also teaching it. Do you see any room for improvement when teaching or learning about journalism to incorporate more climate relevance? Do you agree this should be already introduced in a journalist's training and it does not contradict impartiality?
Oh boy, no. I mean, the last bit nearly, I mean, now you changed the topic almost. No. Look, would you have asked me the same question if I'd ask you about, I think it's City University in London that have a business journalism master's degree? Would you have asked me this is clearly against journalist impartiality? Well, I guess not. No, exactly. So you're asking me this question about something that affects us all, that scientifically by, you know, the largest science community in the world, let's face it, the IPCC report is something that doesn't exist to my knowledge on any other topic, you know, where, you know, scientists from across the world lay the foundation for political decision making in a way that is unprecedented. And now you're asking me whether this is actually bringing in or teaching part of that would endanger impartiality. I'm not sure, you know, that as a climate communicator, I would now question your framing if I'm on this. No, but seriously, I don't take it personally. I know that what you mean.
No,
the answer is no, you know, that is not breaching any impartiality when it comes to, and that's back to the solutions. That's obviously something where we very well can battle out, you know, what is the fastest way. How do we get everybody along? You know, who needs to pay what? You know, what is an effective way forward and all these things? If you start teaching, you know, the sort of very narrow pathways, then, you know, you're getting into trouble. But that's not the point in into journalism training. I mean, we're working on a summer school. We've actually created a program plan. We're now looking for collaborators. And, you know, why are we doing this? Because we can't see that anywhere. You know, where you know, there are a number, Sarah does that as well, I know, that, you know, journalists have now taken on their own to sort of like build a little bit of a sort of curriculum, if you want, on that. Maybe there's somebody out there listening who takes that on and builds that sort of into their existing journalism training. And maybe it's already happening and I haven't seen yet. I'm an interested and happy taker of any information on that. Do I think we need a specific climate journalism master or something? I'd rather have not a specific niche that qualifies somebody to, you know, then goes out and is seen as a niche player. I'd rather have it as part of a broader curriculum where, you know, the colleagues learn a little bit about the specific scientific elements they need to know, but also about the dynamics in a society that you need to take into account when you report on that. And climate communications, all those questions out there, how do I actually reach my audience? That would be not only helpful for climate, but also for a lot of other subjects where, you know, we see polarization in society and where, you know, you could actually use the same sort of mindset to play a more constructive role.
I'd also like to add on this that sure. We as journalists, we wouldn't have to start teaching climate journalism or climate reporting. And even though I co-founded the Climate Journalism Network in Germany, we also are not really happy with this term. We only employ it because people can somehow relate to this. Like we just talk of climate and not of planetary crisis, because like the most planetary crises are kind of unknown to most journalists. So when we start there, nobody listens to us. And so climate journalism is just a starting point to get people interested. And we wouldn't have to do so if we would have learned all this in university or some other level where we did get our education. And now we're having the difficulty that journalists are supposed to see all these connections, know these connections, report on them, even though they never learned about them. And it's still the same. Like I'm really, I'm working a lot with journalists, but I'm also working a lot at universities and with students. And there are some exceptions where climate is being taught as a cross-cutting theme, but it's not the case in most universities. And so we're still having this kind of problem. And I would also say, I'd rather not have some kind of climate journalism masters. I want everyone to have some kind of basic knowledge about like the climate crisis, but then also like on how scientific reporting works, what are the perks and problems of some kind of political journalism, and how could we handle this and still be democratic and so on, and play our role here. And therefore, I would say also just like building up masters programs or something now is not enough. We have to teach everyone working in journalism now. And this is really interesting because actually in some countries, you can already see that this is starting. So in France, there's not only Radio France that is saying that they want to teach all their employees on this, but also like there's some kind of bigger movement where Quality Media is saying, okay, we're providing this trainings for our journalists, and we're not there yet in Germany, actually.
Yeah, sure. Sven, did you want to say something to that?
Well, I just wanted to add one thing, you know, which I find interesting is that, again, you know, those people who have understood what is at stake and who are usually very well in more or less, you know, putting their money where the future lies, you know, they've created now master's studies in, you know, climate-related business opportunities, let's put it that way. I've just come across the Columbia Climate School, a Master of Arts in Climate and Society. Now we're talking Transatlantic Climate Bridge. I've yet to wait for that master here in Germany, but again, I'm not sure that everybody, that I know every single program across Germany. And there are some good schools doing environmental journalism, but I agree with Sarah completely. You know, let's take it not into a specific silo for journalists, but make it much broader than that, right from the word get-go.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I agree that we still have a long way to go there, because my former question about the impartiality, it was a take that I received in my personal context. Let me disclose this much personal information. And I received this take from an older journalist, and she did the training like 30 years ago. And she didn't really get the point, actually. So I totally agree that we might have generational gap here as well. But
I would just say that's not a generational question. It's more some kind of how we look at our work. And what I wanted to say, like from perspective, a positive point of view is, or constructive point of view is, you can talk to colleagues and you can tell them where we're standing, what are the problems, and so on. So I'm doing this as a job now, and it really works. And 100% of all workshops, all colleagues I've had in there, so they can understand where we're at, and they can see the problems, and they can see the solutions and agree on that.
Luckily so. So looking across the Atlantic, I was wondering, do you see any good examples of climate journalism in the US or Canada, Sarah? Sven has just mentioned one example.
Yeah, I would like to add Bloomberg Green, or Bloomberg, because what they did is they set up some climate department, but they don't have like people working there constantly, but they have to change people from other departments. And so they give them some time and room and opportunity and help from other colleagues to really get into climate. And then after 6 months or something, they go back into their departments, and then then they report climate as a cross-cutting theme. So that's really good.
I would just add on that, Sarah. I mean, you know, that example, you know, it pains me as a former Reuters correspondent to say that, you know, Bloomberg has really, you know, taken the lead on that. But good on us, for all of us, you know, that they have. I would also like to say, and I think that is really important, we've come already quite some way. I mean, you know, had we had this conversation 3 or 4 years ago, you know, but Sarah and I would have shed bitter tears about the state of where we are. And I think, you know, there are plenty of good examples where colleagues across the globe, also thanks to the initiatives like Sarah's Climate Journalism Network, but there are plenty of those now popping up, taking on the lead on that. And then, you know, some of the really big, and I have to say, internationalist media like The Economist, like The Financial Times, now The Guardian is going that direction big time. You know, they've taken this on as a very serious endeavor. Sarah's mentioned the French media. And there's also a number of really good examples in Germany where you can see that this is taken seriously. You know, sometimes, as I would say, it's a bit hit and miss. You know, some of the efforts look good, and then they sort of like don't go very far. But, you know, that's what journalism innovation needs to be about. But so I wouldn't want to have anyone listening to this getting a negative impression about where we're heading. As always, with all topics on getting to terms with the climate crisis, you can make the case very forcefully that it's not fast enough and it's not enough people throwing themselves into, you know, these questions. But that's a different story than it was 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, the reason why we're called Clean Energy Wire is that at the time when we started, people were saying, oh, don't call it anything with climate because then nobody will read you. It's as simple as that, you know. So here we are now, climate sections popping up left and right, which is great. I mean, not the sections, but the mindset behind them.
That's great to hear, actually. Sven, you've just mentioned the Netzwerk Klima Journalism that Sarah has co-founded. Sarah, wouldn't that be something to introduce more transatlantic collaboration also, to go in internationally with this?
Yeah, we're always thinking about like what could the role be that we can play in an international discourse, but it's not that easy actually, because we have so much to do in our own countries. At international conferences, we try to provide ideas on how to found this in your own country. And we also try to exchange with colleagues, because there is something like climate covering now in the US. There is like the Oxford Climate Journalism Network in UK and so on, or globally, they're also playing. And so we try to exchange, to really like learn from each other, to make all this a little quicker, because like if something works for them, we could just try out if it works for us. So we try to play together, but it's also, yeah, not always that easy. I worked for Vice a long time, and there I could learn how different discourses are in different countries, and you can't always just translate it one-on-one. So, yeah, we try to help, but it can't just be translated.
Yeah, I think that's just another episode to go into all
absolutely
about.
Let me just add on to what Sarah just said. I mean, you know, we have made it also our goal to connect the dots. And we come from a practical point of view here, where we say, okay, we start with Europe, our neighbors. And as Sarah said, I agree, you know, we, as being based in Berlin, you know, we cannot confidently make a proper assessment what matters at this point in time in other countries in the debate, and also for journalism. So we've started to rope in colleagues from our network, and we've started a series which is called Dispatch From, where we hopefully sort of grow this, the views and the sort of state of play in the various neighboring countries of Germany, to become part of the discourse here, ideally as well, and in our international community, for exactly that reason, that, you know, it's, we need to connect those dots, and ideally also across the Atlantic. Yes, yes, please.
In each Climate Bridge podcast episode, we ask participants to share their climate policy crush, a climate measure in another country that they would like to see implemented back home. And Cornelius, we deviated a little from our standard phrasing, but you got to ask Sarah and Sven what the immediate things that we have to change in order to allow for a better or more widespread climate journalism would look like. So let's take a listen.
Yeah, super, super interesting. Indeed, our time is coming to an end. So let me have a quick closing question to both of you, whoever wants to start. If you could name one or two most immediate things that have to change right now in order to allow for better or more widespread climate journalism, what would that be?
For me, it's exactly two things. And the first thing is more awareness and a mindset shift in the editorial teams concerning climate reporting. And that's not partial, but it's like the basis. It's a cross-cutting theme. And the other thing is to get this awareness, you really need more factual knowledge. Because as I said, you didn't learn this in school, you didn't learn this in your training. And we really have to help journalists to be able to cover this. And connect to this might be the third part, that you also need to have the room and time in your work, in your editorial team, to be able to really get into this deeper, and you need help from your colleagues and so on, and from networks. So this is also connected to this, but like the most important things are awareness and factual knowledge.
I mean, I can subscribe, first of all, to both things that Sarah said, but that will be boring. So I'll add something. I feel that in a global crisis, and something that is so essential to all of us, we need an international collaborative spirit also in the media. And that is quite a shift in a very tough business environment, because, you know, we are all trained. I was trained in the terms of exclusives. That's our news. That's what we have. And, you know, what matters domestically always is more important than what happens elsewhere. And we need to change this mindset also. And one way of doing this, and that neatly fits into what Sarah said about, you know, transatlantic collaborations and our attempts to get there. We need a mindset that is more collaborative among journalists, among media, and sort of trying to get international perspectives across the borders. And that needs actually a little bit of support that is not driven by the business community naturally, because clearly domestic media earn their money in domestic markets. And so their interest is always closer to home sometimes. So that's also an invitation for everybody listening to this to think about how to facilitate that type of journalism.
But also maybe like one last positive outlook here is that I would say that this mind shift also kind of automatically happens when you understand how big this crisis is, how complex this is, because you just understand that you can't solve it alone and you won't survive alone. And so this is something that I can see happening in my workshops, that people just like connect the dots and are like, oh, okay, we really have to cooperate like on every level in this crisis. And so I would say change is possible.
If you're still listening, I'm sure you want to learn more about the Transatlantic Climate Bridge. The Transatlantic Climate Bridge is a consortium of climate and energy think tanks, consultancies, and NGOs working to improve and coordinate climate policymaking between Germany, the United States, and Canada. At the head of our consortium is Adelphi, a Berlin-based leading independent think and do tank on climate, environment, and development. Adelphi and its partners run the TZB with the support of our funders in the German federal government, and our activities include writing analysis, putting on events, facilitating government dialogue, organizing exchange programs, and much more. So that's it for our eighth episode. I'm Toby, signing off.
And I'm Cornelius. Thanks for listening, and bis zum nächsten Mal.